Good evening, and please turn, get ready to turn to 1 Timothy 1:16. We're going to go through some verses here. I just want to say the Lord Jesus Christ at one point committed to Paul to dispense the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation to us, to all mankind eventually. And Paul was to dispense that gospel. That was his duty under that commission that the Lord committed to him. So Paul was the first in which Christ's new pattern was shown there on the road to Damascus. It was a new pattern of salvation. And Christ commissioned him as his only apostle of the Gentiles. Not one of many. He was the apostle of the Gentiles. And he was eventually to dispense to all men that good news, that the gospel of Christ, it's called, you know, when he commissioned him. And it was to start with the Jew first, and also the Greek Gentiles that feared God and blessed Israel during the work in the Acts period, diminishing of Israel. And then he was to dispense it to all men. So let's go through some of the verses that support all those statements. 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul was the first in which this pattern was shown. The verse reads, "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first." And that word there, first, means, well, comes from the Greek, protos, means first. First in line. "That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering." For a pattern. Paul wasn't the only one that was ever saved in the way he was saved. For a pattern to, it says to them, but that includes us, which should hereafter, in other words, ever after Paul, coming, those that come after Paul are saved in the same pattern. And here it is, "believe on him to life everlasting." So, Christ commissioned him as his only apostle of the Gentiles. We can find that in Romans 11:13. Romans 11:13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." And that's quite an office to be placed in. He says, "I magnify mine office." And, excuse me again, just a minute, please. What he was to dispense was the gospel of Christ, as we can see in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 17 and 18. 1 Corinthians 9:17, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." So he was to dispense the gospel in this in that dispensation, I should say. And we'll see why it was that dispensation, not this dispensation, in the next verse. "What is my reward then?" This is 1 Corinthians 9:18. "What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." And that's the gospel of Christ. We find a definition with the conditions attached to the gospel of Christ in Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," the gospel of Christ, by name, the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone," here are the two limiters, "to everyone that believeth, and to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So it's to the Jews, the Jew first, and it's also to those Greek Gentiles that feared God and blessed Israel during that Acts period diminishing of Israel, called a work, and it's called a dispensation of the gospel, depending on which side of, you know, whether you're talking about Israel and Israel's side of it, or of that diminishing period, or you're talking about the body of Christ and what their duty was to dispense the gospel. We see evidence of that in Romans 11, verses 11, 12, and 14, and let's just look through those. I say then, have they, Israel, stumbled that they, Israel, should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, Israel's fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. And it just says the Gentiles. It doesn't say it come unto all the Gentiles, as many people try to infer. It doesn't say that. But rather through their fall is salvation come unto the Gentiles. And it tells which Gentiles? For to provoke Israel to jealousy. It'd be those Gentiles in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy and to emulation. Which Gentiles would that be? The ones that the Jews never see, like us? Or would it be those that are sitting side by side with them in the synagogues, coming to bless Israel with their tithes because they feared God and they sought the wisdom and knowledge of God in the scriptures that were kept in the synagogues? Yes. Verse 12, now if the man, let's start that verse over again, read it slower here. Now if the fall of them being Israel, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So their fall, Israel's fall, is the riches of the world, and the as they diminished, it was the riches of the Gentiles. More and more Gentiles were coming in as less and less Jews believed the gospel that Paul preached. Romans 11:14. If by any means I may provoke, this is Paul speaking, I, Paul, may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, Israel, and might save some of them, Israel. And well, later, you know, that's the Paul's sending to the Jews and those Gentiles that would provoke Israel to believe the gospel, to copy what they saw that those Greeks in the synagogues had when they believed Paul's gospel. Excuse me just a minute. I'm sorry, I have a very ticklish throat today, trying to catch each cough with the mute button. But forgive me if one sneaks through. We're going to read about Paul sending to all men. We said earlier, we showed that his earlier sending was to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1:16. And that dispensation of the gospel in which he was sent out under names the gospel of Christ as being what gospel is being dispensed at that time during the middle of Acts, mid-Acts period. But here, later on in Acts, we find Paul's sending to all people, including people like us that never had a chance to bless Israel. Acts 22, and we'll start in verse 6 and go down through verse 21. So Acts 22, starting with verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, now you can tell this is Paul giving his autobiography, I guess, or testimony of what happened, how he received Christ. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Pardon me. And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? In other words, sir, you've got this bright light on me. Who do you think you are? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And if you look in Acts 9, verse 6, he started trembling like a leaf. It says, trembling and astonished. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? So down a little further it says that here. But look at verse 9 here. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. They could hear Paul speaking, that voice, but they couldn't hear who Paul was speaking to, or Saul of Tarsus was speaking to. Verse 10, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. So he says, you know, when he shaking, trembling, and astonished, he says, what shall I do, Lord? In other words, why aren't I dead? I mean, I've obviously blasphemed you and those that you sent and the Holy Ghost, unforgivable sins. Why am I still alive? What shall I do? Is there anything I can do to correct this situation? No. That sin had to be taken on the Lord Jesus Christ by the Lord himself and paid for under the full wrath of God on the cross. That sin was not just a magic wand waved over it. And, you know, Paul excused. No. The Lord Jesus Christ had to pay for that. And that's different than in the law system, where when you sinned, you had to bring sacrifices to the temple or to the priest in the local areas. And so he was beginning to see that something was different. So he goes on in verse 11, Acts 22:11, and when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews that dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will and see the just one. So he didn't just see a vision. He didn't just see a bright light. He saw Jesus Christ, the just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. Verse 15, for thou shalt in the future, shalt is in the future, thou shalt be his witness unto all men. Sometime in the future. All men of what thou hast seen and heard. And remember back in Acts 9:15, there's a telling of what Paul's life holds for him in the future. It's not ascending. There's not, the word send is not in there. It says Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel in Acts 9:15. Paul was told about kings in Acts 9, but it didn't happen until Acts 25 when he stood before King Agrippa. Here, all men is still in the future from Paul's first sending. He wasn't being sent to all men at this time yet, at the time he states these things. He's given a preview of his life in Acts 9:15, but, you know, first he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And you can, you know, follow the record. It's Acts 9:20. Straightway in the synagogues he preached that Jesus is very Christ. Acts 9:20 and 22. Verse 16 here in Acts 22, then we'll carry through, go on through. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and... just a minute. There's a break there. The word and is something additional, right? And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. And there's another break, another addition. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Three things to do. Arise, first of all. Secondly, be baptized. Thirdly, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. People get that confused all the time. There's nothing about being baptized or arising that washes away your sins. It's calling on the name of the Lord for Israel. Israel, that's where they failed. Romans 10:8, that's where Israel failed. They didn't have the faith that he was the Son of God risen from the dead, their Messiah. They put him on the cross. So, verse 17, and it came to pass. In other words, things changed. Something was different here. It came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. So Paul, it says he was in Jerusalem. He wasn't traveling on that road to Damascus anymore. This is a different event, he says. And it came to pass when I was come again, and that word again shows it wasn't his first trip back to Jerusalem there in Acts 9. It was a subsequent trip back. When I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So the Lord was going to tell him something that Israel would not by any means accept, and they still don't today. And I said, and this is Paul speaking, I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. Verse 20, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee, not I am sending thee, but depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now, it still doesn't say all the Gentiles, but it turns out to be, I mean, it's a different sending than when he said before, I now send thee, back in Acts 9, as told in Acts 26, 16 and 17, I think it is. Yeah, 17. So, you know, if you thought that Paul was sent to all the Gentiles, well, he was sent to Gentiles, yes. We saw that in Romans 11:11. Paul had earlier been sent to some Gentiles, the ones that would provoke Israel to jealousy, the Greeks in the synagogue, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1:16. But soon Paul was to be going to all men. He says his sending here in that temple vision was, I will send thee. In the future, I will send thee to all men. I will send thee far hence to the Gentiles. Now, if Paul had been disobedient to that first vision, heavenly vision, the Lord would have been calling him on it, saying, I'm repeating this, you know, this is, you should go to the, I forget the wording now, I'm trying to, let me get the verse here, Acts 26, 16 and 17, and there's evidence right within the verse here as to what he's talking about, but we'll get that at a later time, I think. But rise, stand upon thy feet. Now, this is a recounting of the Acts 9 salvation experience of Paul. It's not happening at this time in Acts 26. This is Acts 9, period. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister, and to make thee a witness, both of these things and of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So who is he sending him now, back then in Acts 9? To the people and the Gentiles. Which ones? The ones that he has to deliver them from. And there's five times so far, at least five times that I counted, and we'll be going over that in a lesson in the near future. But five times Paul was delivered, and from the same type of people. So those are the people that he was sent to early on. One of those times, just for reference, was in Acts 14, 19 and 20. You can read that. Acts 14, 19 and 20. The Lord delivered him. Just like on Resurrection Day, the Lord was delivered from the sepulcher, from the tomb, from death. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he was dead. Howbeit, the Lord delivered him. It goes on to show. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So he was delivered from the death that they dealt him. And there are four other times that we go into. But these are the people he was sent to. Acts 14 is the people he was sent to is described in the first verse. If you look at Acts 14:1, he says, you can post that if you want, but and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. That tells something right there, who they were going to. They came to the city and went to the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews, that's who they were going to, and also of the Greeks. That's that next to the last phrase in Deuteronomy 32:21, of who the Lord was provoking Israel by, the Greeks. And the last phrase in that Deuteronomy 32:21 would be the little flock, the foolish nation. But those that are of no nation or no name, I think it is. Let me just see what it says here in Deuteronomy 32:21. There we go. Thanks. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. That's the Greeks. They weren't any particular nationality. You know, Trophimus was an Ephesian, called a Greek. The Syrophoenician lady was a Syrophoenician by nation, it says right in Mark 7:26. And yet she's called a Greek. She in the Bible. That's what she's defined as, a Greek. So the Greeks were not a nationality. At least, I mean, there were Greeks that were from Greece. But when it's talking about these in the synagogues that sought God, they sought the wisdom and knowledge of God. As the Greek culture had taught them that, you know, the Greek, they came a couple hundred years after the Greeks, the Greek Empire, and you know, they were known for their libraries and seeking of knowledge. But, you know, there's another definition here in 1 Corinthians 1:22 of who the Greeks are and what they do. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. So, you know, especially in regard to the ones that Paul was sent to, they sought after the wisdom of God. And that was found in the scriptures in the synagogues, kept in the synagogues at that time. So, let's get on with some of these other verses. Second, we can see evidence that later in Paul's life, in his ministry, the Lord did send him to all men, not just to that narrow circuit that he was going to in Asia Minor and over to Thessalonica and Corinth. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 15 and 16. He goes to the Corinthians, or writes to them, raising funds for this wider ministry that he was told he would receive. At the time of the writing of 2 Corinthians in Acts 20 verse 3, he hadn't received that sending yet until three verses after he wrote this. But he had been told, he had received the temple vision telling him that he would be, Christ would send him to far hence to the Gentiles, not just to the same Gentiles as if he hadn't obeyed that sending originally. In fact, Acts 26:19, Paul inspired by the Holy Ghost, says, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision, heavenly calling. So we know that it wasn't a redundant call. It was a different call, a further call. That temple vision and the call and the sending that came after that temple vision. And we'll explore that a little bit too. But here in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 15 and 16, we see not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you, according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. So he's, and if you read that passage that through there, he talks about, we have come as far as to you preaching the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ was what he was preaching. It was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But when that sending went further to all people, then it was the same saving message. It just wasn't sent only to the Jews and the Greeks. It was ascending to all people, and Paul was no longer only under obligation to preach to the Jews and the Greeks. And he could preach to whoever he wanted to, but he was under obligation to preach to the Jews and the Greeks. Now he was under obligation to preach to all people, to those people that were trying to stone him in Ephesus, I think it was, started a riot. You know, he's taking away our livelihood from making these idols for Princess Diana, for this goddess they think fell down out of heaven or something, and they made idols and made a living out of it. And they're saying that Paul is taking that away from us. Well, Paul wasn't sent to those in his original sending, but in his Acts 13 sending, the sending that was committed to unto him to preach the gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians 9, 17 and 18. But he was sent to those people in this sending in Acts 22, verses 17 to 21. So that's what he's writing to those in Corinth about, to raise funds to go to the regions beyond you, he says verse 16, 2 Corinthians 10, 16. So, well, when did that change occur? Look in Philippians 4, 15. That's when, to find out when that change occurred, when he was finally sent to all people and not just to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, that's the key phrase there. He goes on to say, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Well, beginning of what gospel? Was it the beginning of the, when he sailed away from Macedonia, was it the beginning of the gospel of the kingdom? No. You know, the gospel of the kingdom was foretold in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. It was preached by Jesus, Matthew 3, 17 and 23. It was all through the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what Israel fell from. But you know, in Acts 7. But, well, what gospel was it that began when Paul departed from Macedonia? It wasn't the gospel of Christ that saved Paul in Acts 9. That had started in Acts 9, and he preached that gospel in Acts 13 and following. You know, if you don't think that's the gospel of Christ, he certainly preached the gospel of Christ through to Timothy, and had sent Timothy to preach the gospel of Christ to Thessalonica, as we can see in 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 6. You don't have to go there, but verse 6 verifies that they believed the gospel of Christ. Well, it had to have been beyond a gospel later than the gospel that saves us today being preached to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And it was this wider expansion of the gospel when he was sent to all people with it. No longer a special courting of Israelites and Jews and Greeks to come into the kingdom before they are totally cast away and blinded in Acts 28. And after they're casting away, there's a casting out that occurs in history that's not recorded in the Bible. There's prophecy of it, but there's not the recording of it. It happened apparently after the last writing in the Bible in 70 AD. But that beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, well, Acts 16 verse 12 tells us that Philippi is the chief city in Macedonia, and Acts 20 verse 6 is the verse to look at, actually. Acts 20 verse 6 tells us when Paul sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia. And that was in Acts 20 verse 6, which he says in the verse we just read, that was the beginning of the gospel, and it would have been the next gospel, the gospel to all men, the same saving message. You know, it's the same. We're saved just the same as those people in mid-Acts were saved, the Jews and the Greeks, the same way that Paul was saved on the road to Damascus in Acts 9:6. We're saved by believing that Christ died for all our sins, knowing we had death on us, that the wages of sin is death, and yet Christ died for our sins. And believing that, believe on him to life everlasting, it says in 1 Timothy 1:6. You are saved, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:2. So, Titus 2:11, let's go on. Later, after the end of Acts, we read that's what that gospel was. It was to all men. He says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, talking about salvation and getting it, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. After the Acts 20 verse 6 period, and even after the end at least after Acts 28 verse 29, we've got this writing of Titus 2:11 that it has appeared to all men that late. And 1 Timothy 2:6, also possibly, you know, written sometime after Acts 28 verse 29, he says, who gave himself a ransom for, not for Israel, just not only for Israel, as Isaiah 53 says, but who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. And it hadn't been testified in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It hadn't been testified in Acts 1 through 8. It was not until Saul of Tarsus was saved on the road to Damascus. That's right. Many is not all. Many is less than all. But here, by the time Paul writes this, who gave himself a ransom for all, 2 Timothy 4:17, just before Paul laid down his pen to be executed, he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles, there it is. That's when all the Gentiles had heard later on in his ministry, not during the work that Habakkuk 1:5 prophesies for Israel will go on by somebody. And then Paul says that this is the work in Acts 13:41. The Holy Ghost had sent him to the work in Acts 13:1-4. But the work was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It was prophesied. What was not prophesied was that, well, we're often called dirty dog Gentiles, but alien Gentiles that didn't come to God through Israel could be saved by believing that Christ died for our sins. Not by believing a kingdom is coming and we're going to be part of a kingdom with Christ at the head. No, I mean, Christ is the king. Christ is not, let me put it this way, Christ is our head. He's not Israel's head, though. He's Israel's king, and in a sense, he's our king, too. He's not, but we're never called sheep. He's the good shepherd to Israel, the sheep. He's the vine to the branches, Israel. But we're not branches in that vine. We are in the body of Christ. Today, Christ is head and body. The head is in heaven, and the body is here on earth, so to speak. Although, if you look and include, if you include, now I saw something in the text there, and I lost my train of thought. Include Ephesians 2:6. If you can post Ephesians 2:6, we are. If we're a believer that Christ died for our sins and saved, then we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ. Our spirit is in heaven. And we have the choice to follow after the spirit or to follow after the flesh in this life. By the end of this life, though, the Lord has guaranteed that we will be conformed to the image of His Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ. No matter what our life on this earth looked like, if we're a believer. Graft in, if you look at the passage there in Romans 11, we are never told to be graft in. Paul never tells anybody to be graft in, and he doesn't speak of it as a present tense thing. It's something that had happened. It involves proselyting. It's people that believed what was being taught to them and got circumcised to become part of that olive tree. Jeremiah 11 verses 16 to 17 tells us that the olive tree is Israel, both houses of Israel. So we're not grafted into Israel. We're not grafted into anything. There's only one way into the body of Christ, and that's by believing the gospel that Paul preached. Originally called the gospel of Christ when it was to the Jew first and also the Greek, but now to all people it's called the gospel of the grace of God. And the only place it's mentioned is after that Acts, in the Bible, is after that Acts 20 verse 6, departing, sailing away from Philippi, Macedonia, when at that time the Lord sent him to all people. It's about 18 verses later in Acts 20:24 that the gospel of the grace of God is mentioned. The only time it's mentioned in Scripture. So, let me finish that verse, 2 Timothy 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered... There's another deliverance out of the mouth of the lion, delivered to heaven in his execution. But Romans 10, 14, and 15 reminds us, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? People couldn't believe the gospel until someone was sent, Paul was sent, to preach it to them. And he was sent to preach to all men at when that sending occurred, and it... As you research it, it's in Acts 20, verse 6. Assumptions are made that he was sent earlier to preach to all people, but there's no scripture that says that. So, the gospel of Christ at that time, during that middle portion of Acts, basically from Acts 13 to Acts 19, it saved the believers in it. It didn't just remit their sins for their sins to be blotted out when Christ returns, saving them. If you're not saved yet, you can't be sealed. And that's the condition that Israel was in. When we believe the gospel, starting with Paul and with all the people in mid-Acts and late-Acts and after-Acts, the epistles, and they are all saved at the point of belief. They are instantly saved. They're in a saved condition, and they can be and are sealed at that point. So we see that the description of the gospel of Christ in Romans 1:16 coincides with the description we originally saw in 1 Timothy 1:14 through 16 and Romans 1:16. Paul says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So, the gospel of Christ is God's power to save us, to save those people in mid-Acts, and it saves us by a different name, the gospel of the grace of God. It saves everyone that believes on Christ to life everlasting. And that reiterates what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, that Christ does save sinners, not just law keepers. Not law keepers. I mean, if you're depending on being good enough for God, you're not good enough. You need the very righteousness of God, and that's only imputed unto those that believe that Christ died for their sins. You believe the gospel. So Christ does save sinners which believe on him to life everlasting. And there is a key word there, hereafter. In other words, starting with Paul and after him, all of us come to God only in that way. That's the only way to come to God anymore, by believing that Christ died for our sins. Nothing about baptism, nothing about repentance, nothing about remission, any of those key words that Israel used over and over, and rightfully, I mean, that was their conditions that they were under. And when you hear of, you've got to endure to the end to be saved, all of those statements were to Israel, not to us. They were under the other system that Paul compares in Acts 13, verse 39, and says, you know, there were two ways to be justified, one that worked and one that didn't. Moses, following the law of Moses, didn't work. It didn't justify people. But those that believe the gospel, it says, through this man, and he had just described him as having died, suffering and dying and being laid in the sepulcher and being raised by Christ, and that he was the Son of God in those verses between, his death, burial, and resurrection is in Acts 13, 28 to 30, and then from 31 to 37, he's establishing who Jesus is, that he's the Son of God, the Messiah, raised from the dead. And then in verses 38 and 39, by this man, all that believe, by him all that believe are justified from all things. That's what I want. I don't want to just be justified up till the present time. I want to be justified from all things, from conception to death. And that's what it says. Justified from all things. All things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. There's a lacking there on that older administration that the Lord offered, the law program. Couldn't get to heaven under that. When, in fact, they were never promised heaven. They were promised the land, weren't they? And the kingdom coming from heaven to earth to rule the world from the land. So, let's see how Paul defines and explains the gospel of Christ, which saves people. And then we're going to... We'll just go through those four verses, and then we're ready to close and take any questions. Close this lesson. Take any questions that need to be related to the scriptures, if we can. If we can't, we can say that we can't. But 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren," talking to those that he had preached the gospel to in Corinth. You remember, he preached that the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, raised from the dead, preached that in the synagogue, and some of them believed and were, of course, expelled from the synagogue for believing it, and the synagogues were apostate, John 9:22. But he separated them out, and they met in a house that was joined hard to the synagogue. And he preached to them the gospel of Christ, how to be saved, that Christ died for your sins, not for his own. He didn't have any sins. He died for your sins. Believe on him to receive the, you know, for it to be applied to you. And he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." And that's the important thing there. It's the same gospel that he preached when he was there. He's declaring it again unto them, which also you have received. They received it. wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. So it's a gospel that saves. It's the power of God unto salvation. He's talking about the gospel of Christ that he preached. Acts 18, before the Acts 20, verse 6, sending to all people. He says, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory, and here it is again, what I preached unto you. That's the important thing. If you are keeping in memory at the point you're deciding to be saved, if you're keeping in memory what Peter preached, you know, repent from going astray from your Messiah, believe that he is the Messiah, receive the kingdom coming. The kingdom gospel doesn't save anymore. He's saying that's believing in vain. He says, keep in memory what I preached unto you, that Christ died for our sins. And he says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Questions. If you had questions in text, please bring them to the front here where I can find them.